and they have been a long time making their progress, for it is a fact that the development of their souls from the condition of the wholly sinful man to that where such sins have almost disappeared is a very slow development. These spirits, though, are not to be classed with the dark spirits who so often come to you for help and relief from their darkness, for they are in that condition where it is difficult to convince them that they need any help in order that they may have a more wonderful progress and obtain greater happiness. In this twilight zone the spirits seem to be well satisfied with their conditions, and have the belief that their advancement must necessarily be slow and that there is not a better and quicker way to obtain relief from their conditions. 514. Among this class of spirits commences the greatest difficulty for the higher spirits to successfully convince them of the great truth of the divine love and the possibilities of obtaining a condition that will place them in the higher soul spheres, without the long delay in making their progress. In the lower spheres the spirits are not satisfied and generally are very desirous of getting relief from the darkness and suffering and, as a consequence, we can do more to convince them of the truths that are so necessary for them to know. You would be surprised to know the number of spirits who are in this twilight zone, and the great number of years they have been in making the progress that they have made. Many of them have been in the states to which I refer for centuries and yet have never known any desire to progress out of those states except in the way that they consider to be the gradual and natural way to advance. I will not write more now. So, good night, and may God bless you. Your brother in Christ, Luke. February 6, 1917. I am here, John. I want to say a few words in reference to your conversation about the prayer and the importance of thoroughly understanding it, and its spiritual significance and the wonderful truths that it contains. I heard you say that when you first received it there was in its meaning all confusion and that you did not understand that it would convey any great truths, or help very much those who should offer it to the Father. Well, I have no doubt but what you say is true, and there is a good reason for the same, and that is that it is so full of the declarations of wonderful truths and thoughts for soul aspirations that it was difficult, and almost impossible, for your mind or soul to grasp the same, and like every other truth that men do not understand, it does not at first reception appear to be a thing of truth that men can learn, and learning made their own. But the truths of that prayer, when rightly analyzed, will appear sufficient to meet every necessity that men need or are in want of to bring them to a perfect attainment with the Father and assure them of eternal salvation as His divine children and the partakers of immortality. Very soon I will come and give you a full explanation of the prayer and its deep and vital truths, so that you may become real possessors of its full meaning. Tonight I do not think it best for the Paget Messages 1917, me to write more, and in closing will say to you and your friends that you must not become discouraged in the work that you have before you, or in the work that you are now doing, for I, John, tell you that your labor is absolutely necessary to make our truths known to humanity, and there are no others of all the men of earth who have been selected for this work or can perform it, for none have the qualifications developed for the rapport which we have established. So take what I say seriously, and do not let the importance of the work, or the thought that you are not suited to do the work, cause you to think that we have made a mistake in our selection, or that this power that has been given to you is a mere myth and without reality. The high spirits who are followers of and are led by the Master have, in following the Master's desire, determined that you three shall be the ones to start the spread of these great truths amongst men, and leave behind you helpers who will carry on the work after you come over to receive the reward of your well-doing. I am John, and I write with authority, and must be believed. So with my love to you both, and the blessings of the Father, I will say good night, John. I am here, Priscilla Stone, Dr. Stone's mother. I am not going to write much, but I must say to my boy that I heard what John said to him, and that it is of such great importance to him now and hereafter that I must assure him that it was John who really wrote. He was almost glorified as he announced the great truth of your selection, and I do not want my boy or you either, to doubt this fact ever again. It is also wonderful that I might doubt myself had I not seen the writer and heard the authentic words that he uttered. So, believe with all your hearts, and let your principal object in life for the future be the performance of this work. I cannot write more now, for I am so very happy at the new assurance that has been given you. So, with my love, I will say good night. Mrs. Stone. I am here, Helen. I will write now, for I want to add my testimony to that of Mrs. Stone as to the truth of the fact that John actually wrote the message that you received. Of course, you have been told this many times before, and you certainly had no reason to doubt, and I did not think it necessary that you should have the additional 515 assurance. But John has been present most of the evening and heard your conversation and also that part in which you spoke of Mr. Morgan's doubts, and he felt that you should be again assured of the fact of your selections, and what he said to you and the doctor also applies to Mr. Morgan. My dear, if you and the doctor could have seen the great glory that was with John when he made the announcement, you would never again, and I mean all three of you, doubt the fact. The work is before you, and no other at this time can do it, and you all must consider this the great object of your efforts during the few years that will be yours on earth. There is no mistake, and the reality of the mission is so certain that when you shall have done your work and seen the results when you come to the spirit land, you will wonder that you ever could have doubted. Your own true and loving, Helen. February 7, 1917. I am here, Cornelius. The Centurion. I want to write merely a few lines tonight. I am so very much interested in you and your work, that I feel that I should give you some encouragement in the way of letting you know that there are many spirits present here tonight who love you very much and desire that you should receive their messages of love and truth. As I have told you, I'm in the celestial spheres and know what the love of the Father is and what immortality means, as I am the possessor of the love, and the conscious owner of that immortality. The world is now so anxious to know the truths that pertain to God and to man's relationship to Him, and the messages that you are receiving will give to the world what it so much longs for. I know that the Christian doctrines as contained in the Bible and taught by many preachers and priests are the only doctrines that the Christians have any knowledge of, and, consequently, are accepted by them as being the inspired revelations of God, and the truth of what He is, and what man must do in order to obtain salvation. And these people rest securely in these beliefs, and in the assurance that the Bible way is the only way to salvation, and resting in these beliefs the world does not see the necessity for obtaining the only thing that will make them in atonement with God, and make them inhabitants of His heavens. The Paget Messages 1917. I merely write this to show you that it is of the greatest importance that the truths of the way to salvation be revealed to all mankind. I do not think that I have anything more to say tonight, and so will leave you. With all my love, I'm your brother in Christ Cornelius. I am here, Elias. I want also to encourage you in the belief that you have the great work to do, and that you must not falter or delay the coming of the messages, for if you will only think for a moment, you will realize that there is no other way in which these truths can at this time be conveyed to mankind. You must not doubt, or cause yourself to hesitate for a moment to believe that the work has been imposed upon you as one not fitted to receive these truths. I know that sometime it is hard for you to believe that you have been selected to do this great work or that you are fitted to receive these great spiritual truths that are to be given to the world, but you must not let such thoughts linger in your mind, for it is a fact that you have been selected to do the work, and you must not shirk it, for if you do, mankind may remain a long time in ignorance of what the truth is, and the way in which it can take on the essence of the Father, and become His true children, and partakers of His nature, so that the very essence and divinity of the Father may become a part of the people. The work must be done by you and you must not doubt, but have a firm conviction of its truth and try your best to receive the messages. I merely wanted to say this much, as I am much interested in the work. Yes, there are a great number present, and you have around you a wonderful spiritual influence which should cause you to believe that these spirits are present trying to help you. I was Elijah of the Old Testament, and I actually lived and was a prophet among the Jews, and was not John the Baptist, nor was he a reincarnation of me as some of earth teachers claim. John was himself alone. He was in the flesh only once and was not a reincarnation of me or anyone else. I will not write more now, so good night. Your brother in Christ, Elias, February 8, 1917. I am here, Abraham Lincoln. Love is greater than hate, and war will end and love will come and peace will be again established. And then the teachings of the Master will reach men's hearts. And 516, war will become a thing of the past and brotherly love will rule men's conduct, and nations will know war no more. And so must it be. God bless our people, and all the people of the earth, and make them truly His children, is the prayer of Abraham Lincoln. I am here, McKinley. Let me say a word, as I am interested in this great conflict of nations, and especially in the danger that faces my country, and the almost certainty that in a short time the cry of war will fill the streets and homes of its inhabitants. Reference here to World War I. God moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform, and this war will result in the wonder, if it may be called such, of many of the inhabitants of the earth seeking a way of a closer union with the Father. Lives will be sacrificed, but souls will be saved, and men will realize that they are brothers of one Father, and that love, only, must rule, and that war must cease forever. The spirit world is interested in this great conflict, and spirits are striving to open up the souls of the rulers of the nations in conflict and influence them to bring an end to the fearful carnage that is now destroying so many of God's children. The suffering, though, will yet be great before the end shall be accomplished, and many men will become spirits before the Dove of Peace will leave the Ark of Refuge and see the dry land. Nations shall fall, and some shall cease to exist, but at least the truth of the fellowship of man and the fatherhood of God will be established. But men must work its harvest, and the reaping must continue until there shall not remain in men's hearts any desire for war or the satisfying of unholy ambitions. We in spirit see this and are striving to bring the great calamity to its ending. God will not cease to love His children, even though those children forget Him and murder their brothers. I have finished, but through the gloom of desolation and ruin I see the rainbow of hope and the end of strife. May all men learn the fact that God is love, and that they are His children, and will soon realize the truth of His love. I must stop. Your brother in Christ, McKinley. I am here, Mrs. Wilson. I will write only a line or two. I am not known to you, but I am very desirous to write, as I am so much interested in the Paget Messages 1917, what is now taking place in our country in connection with foreign countries, and one in whom I am very much interested is suffering the burdens that are now resting upon him. I am with him a great deal, and try to influence him in his thoughts and dealings with the great problems that are now before him to deal with, and sometimes I fear he may succumb to the heavy burdens. He has around him, also, other spirits who are much interested in the country's welfare, and they are the spirits of men who, when on earth, were statesmen and rulers of our country, and interested in directing its fortunes. I will not name them, only to say that from Jefferson down to McKinley they are with him who now occupies the president's chair. This war, reference to World War I, is a serious one to not only the people of Europe, but also to those of America, for as I see, and these other spirits say, it is impossible for our country to keep out of it. The Germans so desire, and they are doing everything to bring about, the participation of the United States in the conflict, and the result will be that the US will suffer much more than its statesmen and financiers contemplate. I wish I could bring to the president in clear and undoubted effect the advice that these spirits would like to have him understand, but this power to communicate is limited to the impressions that they may make upon him by the exercise of the very imperfect rapport of their minds with his, without the proper or necessary medium. If he could only have you with him to receive the advice that these spirits so earnestly desire to give him, it would help him so much. We have been trying to create a way by which this might be brought about, but it seems to be almost impossible. But so far as I can see the future, he will bring the country to a sound ending, although much trouble and unhappiness will be suffered, and he may not be able to endure strain. I wish that I could write longer tonight, but my rapport is leaving me, and I must stop. But notwithstanding what has taken place, which only I know, I still love him, for he is mine, and someday he will realize that fact. I will now close, thanking you for your kindness. I am your new friend, Mrs. Woodrow Wilson. I am here, William, Grandfather of the Kaiser, let me say a word in response to what has just been written, as I am interested in the war. I am heart and soul in sympathy with the sentiments just expressed, and so anxious for the end to come. For 517, my people are suffering so much, and so many of them are coming to the spirit world, their lives all cut off and prevented from performing the missions of their Creator. I have sympathized much with all the people who are engaged in this war, and have tried so hard to influence my own family to bring it to an end, but in vain, for the fire of ambition and the cravings to conquer have ruled them. But I see the end will soon come, and then will also come the suffering, for it seems to me that my family will soon thereafter cease to be the rulers of my people and will be execrated as the creators of this great conflict and the cause of all the murders and sufferings that have been suffered by the German people. And my only consolation is that life on earth is short and that the spirit must find its home in the realm of spirit, but even then, the suffering will continue. But I trust in the mercy of the Father and realize that He does all things right. I cannot say more tonight, but that we are all praying for the people of the world and are asking the Father to open up the hearts of the rulers to the inflowing of His love, and the bringing about of peace. I will close. William, the grandfather of the Kaiser. I am here, Cole. Cook. Well, you are much in demand tonight, and the spirits who wrote really are whom they represented themselves to be, for I have been present and know them. I am Cole. Cook, who was the head doorkeeper of the executive mansion for so many years, and I know and tell you that tonight have been present many of the spirits to whom Mrs. Wilson referred as statesmen and rulers who have been trying so earnestly to influence and advise her husband. Especially is Cleveland anxious to communicate to the president, for he seems to be more interested in the country's affairs than the others, and is such a virile and powerful spirit. I only wish that there was some way that a message from him to the president might be delivered, but we all realize that it would not be believed. Well, I cannot do any good by writing more, and will close, though I am much interested in my country, and also in this method of communicating. I will say good night, Cole. Cook. I am here, Queen Victoria. I must write a line, for I have listened to the communications, and feel, the Paget messages 1917, that none who have written are more interested than I, as my people, who such a short time ago listened to my advice and loved me, are now being destroyed on both land and sea. Oh, this war is horrible, and the flower of my people are being cut down like so many fields of wheat that are ripe for the scythe. How I wish that I could have lived a few years longer as queen, for I believe I could have controlled my grandson to the extent of preventing him from launching this terrible catastrophe upon the nations of Europe. I have tried since becoming a spirit to influence him, but all in vain, for his ambitions were great and his sense of having suffered indignity from my own people was great, and in his blindness and hot blood he started to rolling the ball of hatred and destruction that is still accumulating as it continues on its murderous destructive course. I have prayed for all the people who are engaged in this war, and have, with other spirits, to stem the tide of hatred and feelings of conquest and revenge which now possess them. I believe the end is now in sight and that the Germans will soon seek for peace and the nations will lay down their arms, and common sense and cool blood will again rule. I cannot write more tonight, and will only say that we are all praying to the Father that His mercy may be showered on these unhappy and misguided men. So thanking you, I will say good night. Yours truly, Victoria. I am here, Nathan Plummer. Let me say a word now. I am not his mother and can't write as his mother does, but I am grateful too, for I now have some hope and a part of the cause is what he, Leslie Stone, told me while on earth. He may not realize just how the things that he said to me may have this effect. But they have, for when the spirits of his friends told me of what I may hope for if I will only believe and try to get the love that they told me of, then I think of what he said to me and it becomes so much easier to believe what these spirits tell me. I wish I could write longer but I must stop. I am hoping and some light has come to me and I am following Forrest, who I know was as great sinner as I was, and now a very beautiful sinner. I am commencing to learn some of those heavenly things in hell, but it is hard, as I said. Your old friend, Nathan Plummer. I used to talk to Nathan Plummer when he was on Earth, of the great importance of praying to the Heavenly 518 Father to fill his soul with his divine love, and he remembered what I told him. Forrest knew him when they both were on Earth and were in darkness and suffering after they passed into the hells. Forrest wrote Mr. Paget, and his band helped Forrest to progress and pray for divine love and obtained it, and he became so much brighter. When Plummer saw the great change in Forrest's appearance, he asked how it was he was so much brighter in his spirit body. Then Forrest told him that he had written through Paget for help and asked to meet a bright spirit that belonged to Paget's band, and Forrest told Plummer that these bright spirits told him to pray for the divine love, and some of this love had come into his soul, shining through his spirit body, that made the great change in his appearance. Plummer was so surprised to see this great change in Forrest's appearance, and as Plummer wrote Paget, he knew what a great sinner Forrest was on Earth. He then realized if Forrest could get out of the hells, there was hope without doubt, and it caused Plummer to seek by earnest prayer for the divine love, and Plummer did, and that enabled him to progress out of the dark condition into a brighter sphere. As this message was written 47 years ago, I have no doubt both Plummer and Forrest must now be above the seventh sphere in the celestial heavens, where these celestial spirits are seeking and obtaining the divine love in increased progression nearer and nearer to the fountainhead of the Father with the consciousness of the certainty of immortality. Written by Dr. L. R. Stone, I am here, your own true and loving Helen. You must not be surprised that so many spirits of presidents and rulers of Europe are here tonight writing to you. For in the spirit life space is as nothing, and the attraction of kindred thoughts brings together spirits who you might suppose are far apart in their habitations. These spirits who have written, and many more who are present, are all interested in this war, reference to World War I. And I will say here that tonight you have had around you a greater concourse of men and women who were considered great on earth than have ever before congregated in one place. This may seem surprising to you, but it should not, for in spirit life all these persons are mere spirits, and are not considered to be presidents and kings and queens, but mere spirits. And some are not so high in the spheres as mortals might naturally suppose. They are spirits who are much interested in their people and have more or less development of their souls and spiritual natures, the Paget Messages 1917, but when you compare the assembly tonight, as these great ones of earth, with the assembly you sometimes have of spirits from the celestial heavens, you would see that it would look to you like a comparison of the light of the sun to the light between darkness and dawn. So you need not be surprised that these spirits came and wrote you. Well, you have had a variety of messages tonight, and must now stop, as you are tired. So with all my love I will close. Your own true and loving, Helen. February 11, 1917. I am here, John. I come tonight to tell you that your condition of soul is very much better than it has been for some time, and you are more in unison with the Father's love than you have been for some time, and you realize that this love is working in your soul and making you happy. I have been with you a great deal today as you copied the messages and saw that you enjoyed the truths that they contained. The message describing the progress of the soul is one that contains the truth of how the soul finds the true way to the love of the Father and to progress to the celestial spheres. It is a very clear and convincing portrayal of the necessary course that every soul must pursue, which comes into the spirit world devoid of the divine love. There is no other way in which that soul can find its true development, and the message is one that will appeal to the honest seeker after salvation and the happiness which only a perfect atonement with the Father can give. Reference here is to the message on the progress of the soul written by A.G. Riddle. I also see that you have been thinking a great deal about your future on earth in carrying forward the work that you have been selected to do, and I am glad that the great work is becoming to you a matter of such importance and seriousness. For important it is, not only to the world but to you. And this you will realize when you consider what was told you a few nights ago, that there is no one else in all the world at this time who is fitted to do the work which you are now doing and which you must continue to do during the whole time of your stay on earth. As you progress in this work and as these truths come to you and your soul becomes more filled with this love, you will to a greater and greater degree realize and understand the wonderful importance of the work, and you should now bend all your energies to developing your 519 soul, and its perceptions and to carrying forward the work. We understand as well as you the disadvantages under which you are now laboring and the necessity for getting into that position with the harmonious surroundings that will enable you to give your whole time to the work, and we are endeavoring to bring about these necessary conditions and will succeed in our efforts, and you must have faith, for faith will help you very much to work in conjunction with us and so cause the consummation of our desires and plans much more rapidly. To us the accomplishing of this work is infinitely of more importance than to you, because we realize as you cannot, what a failure to have these truths made known to men would mean to them in the way of depriving them of opportunities that are so requisite to their future salvation, both on earth and in the spirit world. So I say, let not yourself become discouraged, but believe, and you will find that our promises will be fulfilled, and the work will go on, and the truths be made known to humanity. I am with you a great deal, trying to develop your spiritual nature, and by this I mean your soul, for as this develops the better able you will be to receive our truths and properly transmit them to the waiting world, so that men may readily see and understand the truths of God and the only way to His kingdom of love and immortality. Doubts as to the teachings of the churches are now penetrating and permeating the minds of many, very many of those who are nominally Christians, and the perception of God is almost blunted, and they attend worship only because of a kind of feeling of duty and impression that it is right for them to do so. They know nothing of the divine love of the Father's nature and of the plan for their salvation. Their prayers and worship are only those which come from the lips or a kind of blind intellectual belief. Their soul longings do not enter into their prayers and as a consequence, their petitions for God's love and mercy go no higher than their heads, as has been said. This condition of men is very injurious to their future welfare and cannot possibly lead them to the Father, and so long as it exists men can never become in an atonement with Him. Only the inflowing of this love can reconcile men with God in the higher and desirable sense. Of course they may become in harmony with Him by a purification of their natural love, but that is the harmony only that, the Paget Messages 1917, existed between Him and the first parents before their fall, and is not the harmony which Jesus taught and which was the object of His mission to teach. When He said I and my Father are one, He did not refer to the atonement between the mere image and the substance, but to the atonement which gives to the souls of men the very substance of Father. I should like to write more tonight, but you are tired and should not further be drawn on as it will make you feel bad physically. So I will say good night and stop. Your brother in Christ, John. February 13, 1917. I am here, Jesus. Well, I come tonight and desire to write on the subject of the soul, but when I consider your condition, which is much better than it has been, I desire, think, it best to wait a while longer. As I have told you, it is necessary for you to get in the best possible receptive condition in order that you may receive my message just as I deliver it. I know that you are anxious to receive this discourse and expect that it will contain a disclosure of mysteries that the world has so long had hidden from it. And such will be the contents of the message, but as a fact there are no mysteries connected with this subject, for the soul is a creature of God, just as is the body and spirit. The only reason that mankind has not known of the nature and constituency of the soul, is that their soul perceptions have never been developed so that they could comprehend the qualities that pertain to the soul. They have studied and conceived of the nature of the body and have assumed at some knowledge of its wonderful construction and functions and the purposes of its existence, and so they have some idea of what the spirit is, which is really a manifestation of the workings of the soul. And as I have before told you, the active energies of the soul and even as to the spirit, while they see its manifestations, yet they have but a slight apprehension of what it really is. Yet they necessarily have some knowledge of its workings, for the results of its activities are manifested even to their physical senses. But as to the soul they have but a very indefinite comprehension of what it really is, and frequently in their conception of its qualities and functions and existence, confuse it with the mind or with the spirit and hold them to be synonymous. They know nothing of its origin and of its great 520 possibilities and of the fact that it is the only part of man that lives forever and can become a part of the very substance of the Father himself and hence become immortal. That it is that which gives to man a creation and existence above the brute creation of earth and that it determines the great distinction between man and the brute creation and not reason is this determiner as men so frequently assert.